finally resting on the number 24.
Previously on 24.
Mr. President, my analysts believe that Assad's organization cannot survive without him, and once he's dead, these attacks will stop.
CTU needs to eliminate Assad. That's all there is to it. God knows we're paying a steep enough price to get him.
We were contacted 4 days ago by a man named Fayed. He offered to give us Assad's location for a list of demands. One of them was Jack Bauer.
We're asking you to sacrifice yourself so we can eliminate Assad.
The reason why I fought so hard to stay alive in China was because I didn't want to die for nothing. Today, I can die for something.
You kept your end of the deal, I'll keep mine. I have a transponder at Assad's location. 3358-11
North Longitude.
118-21-40 West Longitude.
Have General Bowen mobilize the attack helicopters. I'll let the President know where to go.
CTU is about to kill the wrong man. Assad isn't behind these attacks. He's come here to stop them. He's come here to stop me.
Get out of my house!
This kid's father's a terrorist.
Oh, come on, he's no more a terrorist than you or me.
Tell me what happened.
The FBI. They took my father.
Are you sure the FBI didn't find the package?
Yes, it's well hidden.
You need to deliver it soon.
Following takes place between 7 a.m. and 8 a.m.
Fayed and his armed retinue wade through narrow drainage tunnels, flashing their torches into every corner.
But wait. We have to go.
Not until we find Bauer.
We're not here to kill one American. We're here to kill thousands.
But he knows the truth.
It doesn't matter. By the time Bauer tells anyone, it will be too late. Assad will be dead, and we'll be free to finish what we started. Fayed, listen to me. If we don't leave now, we'll jeopardize the mission.
Fayed agonizes.
All right. Yalla! Yalla, Inshu! Yalla!
Fayed turns and pulls back, just feet from the corner around which Jack is hiding. Jack waits, then moves off. Outside in bright sunshine, an outlet in the concrete drainage system forms a dark circle in the side of a canal. Out from this runs Jack, squinting in the light. He presses close to the wall and looks skyward. At CTU, Chloe sits grim-faced at her workstation. Morris, working at his desk, casts a glance across to her. Milo arrives at Morris's shoulder.
The target?
This is where Fayed says Assad is right there.
You get a heat signature?
Nah, they're shielded. We can't tell how many are in there.
If there's anyone in there at all. If I had lied to us, then Jack bought the farm for nothing.
Shut up, Milo.
What's her problem?
Jack Bauer was a friend of hers. It hurt her that he died that way. You might want to attenuate your thoughtless remarks once in a while.
Jack smashes the window of a car and gets into the driver's seat. He winces at the pain in his shoulder, then stretches his blistered right hand over to pick the phone up from the dashboard.
Two Cobra attack helicopters are being launched from Camp Pendleton. They'll hit Assad's location in 15 minutes.
Excuse me, sir.
What is it?
Jack Bauer's calling in, line two.
Jack, it's Bill.
Thank God you're alive. What happened? How did you...
Bill, listen to me carefully. We do not have a lot of time. I need you to call off the airstrike against Assad.
Why?
You're going after the wrong man. Assad is not responsible for the bombings.
Where'd you get this information?
It's complicated. I'll explain it to you as soon as you call off the airstrike.
I don't have the power to rescind a presidential order, Jack. You know that.
Then put me through to the president. I'll tell him myself.
Jack.
Bill, trust me. Just put me through to the White House.
All right, stay on the line.
Jack bends down and rips the cables from beneath the dash that he needs to hotwire the car. In the Oval Office.
I have Bill Buchanan for the President, Priority 3.
Put him through, please.
Yes, sir.
Bill?
Mr. President, there's some new information you need to consider regarding the airstrike on Assad.
I'm on the line with Jack Bauer. He escaped from Fayed.
What? How?
I'm not sure. But he's requesting that we abort the airstrike against Assad.
For what possible reason, Bill?
According to him, Assad is not behind the attack, sir.
Bill, that's insane. What is Jack basing this on?
He has an explanation, but he wants to talk directly to the president.
Put him on.
You're on the line with the president, Jack.
Mr. President?
Jack, I am so sorry.
Sir, I'm sorry. We don't have a lot of time. Did Bill Buchanan explain to you about Assad?
Yes, he has, but I have to tell you something, Jack. We're all skeptical here. What's Assad doing in this country if he's not behind these attacks?
He's trying to stop them. He's trying to stop Fayed.
So you're saying that Fayed is carrying out these bombings?
Yes, sir. Fayed admitted to me that Assad is planning to renounce terrorism. He's trying to mainstream his organization. He wants to bring them into the political process. Fayed wants to stop that from happening. Fayed is behind this recent wave of attacks.
Jack, this is inconsistent with 20 years of terrorism on Assad's part. His organization has waged nonstop war against the West. He's responsible for hundreds of deaths.
I am aware of Assad's history, and I am still telling you that there is sufficient cause to call off this strike.
What if we change the airstrike to a ground assault? I mean, if we capture Assad...
Sir, we cannot afford a ground assault. We have to take him out now, while we've got the chance.
Mr. President, if Jack is right, we've got the wrong man. It's a risk we have to take.
Jack has been in a Chinese prison for 20 months. His ability to assess this situation is highly questionable. I believe he's being played.
I know what I heard, Karen. I am not being played.
No deference to Mr. Bauer. I think Karen is right.
Mr. President, you want to stop these attacks, you need to stop Fayed. And in order to do that, you need to capture Assad and find out what he knows. Sir, he might be the only hope you have.
Mr. President, I know your history with Mr. Bauer runs deep, but don't let that impact your judgment here.
We have the opportunity to eliminate Assad. We have to take it.
Bill, I want real-time progress on that airstrike.
I'm sending you a video uplink now, sir.
Mr. President, don't do this. Jack, I am sorry. I am.
President Palmer looks thoughtful but resolute.
Jack, give me your location. I'll send a unit to pick you up.
Bill, killing Assad is a mistake. Right now, he's your only chance of finding Fayed.
It's the president's call, Jack.
But we'll do all we can when you get back to CTU.
It'll be too late.
Jack, tell me where you are.
Jack hangs up and goes to key an address on the phone he is holding. He keys in latitude and longitude figures, presses send to, and gets a message saying receiving location. A map flashes up. Jack starts the car and heads off at speed. ...708, end of part one.
Don't put me on hold again. I've been in hold for 10 minutes. Just give me the agent in charge. I will wait on the line.
Damn it. She says they'll call me back on this number.
But they didn't tell you where they're holding my father?
No, they cannot release that information.
Hello.
Do you have the package?
I'm still at my friend's house across the street.
They're helping me find out where the FBI took my father.
You're not free to talk.
No.
Just tell me if you have the package.
Not yet.
But I'll have it soon.
There are other people I could have chosen for this task. But I chose you. Now get out of there. Retrieve the package. Call me when you have it.
Yes. Well. I have to go back to my house. I'm meeting my uncle.
Oh, do you think that's wise?
Are you sure?
Then, man, you should stay here.
No, I'll be fine. Don't worry. Thank you for everything.
Okay.
Thank you.
Take care.
Don't worry, sweetheart. His family's taking care of him now.
Ahmed, hold on. Listen, I'm sorry. I can't believe this is happening. It's like the whole world has gone crazy.
It's been crazy for a long time. We just haven't been paying attention.
Yeah, well, we are now. You know what? You should take this. I got this at a fair in Oregon, and it's supposed to mean good luck.
The teenager removes a medallion from around his neck and presses it on Ahmed.
Thanks, but I can't take it.
All right.
You might need it yourself someday.
Ahmed walks brusquely away, leaving his friend troubled. Two large military helicopters swoop across a blue sky. CTU track them on their screens.
Zebra 1, lead is cleared hot.
Zebra 1 is cleared hot.
Flight is cleared for immediate engagement at lead's discretion.
Buchanan.
Mr. Buchanan, please hold for Karen Hayes.
Bill?
Yes, Karen.
You're also online with the President. We're monitoring the video feed of the Cobras. How soon before they hit Assad's location?
5 minutes.
And how soon after the strike can we expect confirmation that Assad is dead?
Curtis will lead a team into the target zone. They'll do a point-by-point grid search as soon as the strike is completed.
Thank you.
We have ready.
7:10. Bill studies the video feed.
Request heading change, 150.
Jack drives along a sunlit street. Arriving outside a nondescript bungalow, he pulls up, gets out of the car and trots across to the building. Two lean Cobra helicopters continue at speed.
Zebra 1, proceeding southwest through downtown quarter. Approximately 3 minutes and 50 seconds to lock on target.
Jack crouches down and lopes along in the lee of a concrete fence leading into the backyard of the bungalow. He drops down behind two overflowing wheelie bins and peers through to see a man entering through a side gate. He clocks a pile of logs lying on the ground behind him. As the man nears the back door of the house, Jack makes a deliberate noise. The man, of Arab appearance, turns and looks and walks over to the bins. Whacks him on the back of the knees with a log and then on the back of the head. Removing the unconscious man's gun from his belt, he walks cautiously up to the back door and peers through the glass. Several Arabs are inside at a table.
Zebra 1, changing course to 183 for southerly approach to target.
Roger that, Zebra 1, 183.
Lock in 2 minutes, 30 seconds.
A man comes out of the bungalow. Jack holds his gun to the man's head.
Drop the coffee.
Don't move. Don't even think about it. Where's Assad?
Where is Assad?
Put down your weapon.
I said, put down your weapon.
My name is Jack Bauer.
I know who you are.
This house has been targeted for a military strike. I need to get you and your men out of here now.
Check the street.
I came here alone. I know about Fayed. I know he's behind the bombings. I know you're here to stop him.
There's no one outside.
Fayed has set you up. He provided CTU with the coordinates to this house.
Kill him, Assad.
In a few minutes, it's not going to matter. We'll all be dead.
Don't listen to him. It's a trap.
There's a transponder that's been planted inside this house. The U.S. military is using it to pinpoint the strike.
There is no transponder here. We've searched the entire house.
Jack looks suspiciously from one to the other of Assad's men.
One of your men must have it on them. It's the only possible explanation. One of your men is working for Fayed. Have them empty their pockets.
Assad, don't listen to him. He's lying.
Damn it, I am telling you the truth. Why else would I be here? If I wanted to kill you, I'd have come in shooting. Have your men empty their pockets.
One of the men grabs a gun and covers him.
I'm trying to save your life.
Wait!
Empty your pockets.
But Assad!
I said empty your pockets!
Another of the men sneaks away.
Behind you!
Search him.
Jack looks on tensely as Assad's men empty the pockets of their colleague, Assad meanwhile holding the man in the sights of his pistol. A device is produced from the man's pocket.
You betrayed us.
No.
You are the one who betrayed his people.
Assad, we need to leave now.
If you are telling the truth, you will not need that gun.
Jack is uncomfortable but replaces the gun.
Go, Assad. You need to leave. We'll secure the fight.
Hurry up.
Jack leads Assad and the traitor out through the rear door of the bungalow. As they run through the back garden, the Cobras appear. ducks behind a fence as missiles rip through the roof of the house. The ensuing fireball throws Assad to the ground.
Are you ready?
He's been here.
Oh, get him up. Move.
Bill stands in CTU.
Mr. President, the target has been destroyed.
7:19. A man addresses two agents at the Islamic American Alliance in Washington, D.C.
We are an advocacy group. These people are all volunteers. They're very good people.
I'm sure they are, sir. All we're doing is assembling a working database of names to cross-check against our watch list.
Excuse me, Sandra. The FBI is here.
FBI?
They're asking for access to our personnel records.
We take pride in being good citizens, and we will cooperate with you in order to stop these attacks.
May I see your warrant, gentlemen? I'm Mr. Al-Razani's attorney. I also represent this organization.
We know who you are, ma'am. And I'm afraid we don't have a warrant.
Then I'm afraid we can't turn over our personnel records. That information is private, and that privacy is protected by law.
I understand, ma'am, but in light of what's happening around the country, we don't think it's unreasonable to ask for the cooperation of our citizens.
You're looking in the wrong place. There are no terrorists here. So unless you have a warrant, I'm going to have to ask you to leave. Please don't make me ask twice.
The blonde agent and the black lawyer eyeball each other.
All right, ma'am.
This is getting out of hand.
Maybe we should give them what they want.
You can't be serious.
We have nothing to hide.
No, but we have something to protect. The privacy of everyone who's ever worked for this organization.
Maybe we have to sacrifice a little privacy. The country is under attack, Sandra. We cannot pretend it isn't. Who are you calling?
Yes, it's Sandra Palmer. I'd like to speak with my brother.
We're still sweeping the target zone. We've recovered four bodies.
Forensics is running field ID now. They're sending data back to CTU.
Well, let's hope one of them is Assad.
Yes?
The president's sister is on the line, sir.
Oh, I think you'll want to call her back.
She says it's urgent.
I'll take it.
Mr. President, we're...
Tom, it's okay. Let me have the room, please.
The staff all dutifully get up and leave as the president stands commandingly, smiling slightly to himself. He crosses to his desk and presses a button on the phone.
What's going on, Sandra?
I'm sorry to burden you with this, but I think you need to know. The FBI was just here, and they wanted access to the IAA's personnel records.
They say why?
They gave some excuse about expanding their database.
Listen, Sandra. You know I have to do whatever I can to stop these attacks, right?
Yes.
Well, that includes giving law enforcement the authority to follow up on every single lead they get.
That's my point. They weren't following any lead. They were invading a group of people's privacy based on their religion. Look, Wayne, you know I'm not some idealistic flag burner, and I understand that you're going through a very complicated situation, but once you start ethnic profiling, it's a slippery slope.
I'll look into it.
You should probably start with Tom Lennox. This has his name written all over.
Sandra, please don't start in on Tom again.
He treats the Constitution like a list of suggestions. He's laying the framework for a major crackdown and civil protections be damned.
Listen, let's be honest. You don't like Tom, and you never have.
Neither did David.
This clearly touches a raw nerve with Wayne. Sandra seems to regret having spoken.
Yes?
Excuse me, sir. Bill Buchanan's on the line for you.
One moment. Sandra, I gotta go.
Wayne, look, I'm sorry to put this on you, okay? I just wouldn't have called if I didn't think it was important.
I understand.
You take care of yourself, okay?
Yeah. I love you, too.
Sandra crosses back towards Al-Razani.
I hope I got through to him.
You made a good case, and he's a good man. He'll listen.
Al-Razani leans down and kisses Sandra in a way that suggests their relationship is more than professional.
Thanks.
For what?
For making that call. For not letting me lose sight of what we're fighting for.
Go ahead, Bill.
We completed our sweep of the strike zone, sir.
Recovering four bodies. None of them is Assad.
What?
Are you sure?
We're still checking the site, but I think it's safe to assume Assad is still alive.
How the hell did we miss him?
We couldn't have, sir. Someone must have warned him.
Or the intel we got from Fayed was bad and Assad was never there to begin with.
Well, that's irrelevant. What matters now is that Assad is still out there.
We're sealing a 10-block perimeter around the area, sir. Assad may still be in the vicinity.
All right, then. We put everything we had into that strike. We thought if we could cut off the head, we could stop these attacks. And now... what do you think Assad's next move is going to be?
Likely, there will be more attacks, but respond he will, guaranteed.
Palmer's face clouds, and he sits back down heavily in his chair, putting a hand to his forehead. In a shabby warehouse, Arab men stand guard with machine guns. Through the double doorway at the end of the building drives a red van. Fayed gets out from the front passenger seat, while others pile out of the rear of the vehicle. He walks briskly and grim-faced towards the rear of the warehouse and through a curtain of polythene strips. 7:25.
Dr. Ahmed, we have the package soon.
Good.
Is he ready?
Yes, he's been waiting for you. Halas, yalla.
A knot of men clear out of Fayed's way, revealing a lone figure standing in his vest and wearing a harness festooned with explosives all around his upper body. Fayed comes close, looks at the body belt and then at the man. They exchange a look, and Fayed nods. Fayed clips the belt together with an air of finality.
It's not necessary. I will not fail you.
I don't question your devotion, Asir. When the moment approaches, even the most devout can experience fear. Look at me. By overcoming your fear, you prove your worth. I'm proud to have known you in this life, Nasir. Your family will learn about your sacrifice.
Fayed comes close and kisses Nasir on both cheeks. He presses a button on the explosive device and a red light glows out from it. Nasir nods tersely. 7:26, end of part two. Part three, 7:31. Jack, along with Assad and the wounded traitor, squat behind a fence waiting for a removal van to pull away from a house.
All right, one more load. Gotcha.
Jack moves across the road to the now mainly vacated rented house, kicks the back door in and pulls a chair out for the wounded man.
Put him here.
He's unconscious.
CTU's gonna realize you weren't killed in the airstrike. They're gonna widen their search grid. We can't stay here much longer.
He knows where Fayed is. I only need a few minutes.
Fayed told me that you wanted to disarm your organization. You were going to start negotiations with the West. Is that true?
I've gotten most of my people and the governments that support us to agree to a ceasefire with the West.
And that's what Fayed wants to sabotage.
Yes. Once Fayed is eliminated, everyone else will fall into line and I can go public with my proposal. But finding Fayed is the key to everything.
Jack is changing his shirt. Assad falls silent on seeing the state of his back.
I'll be right back.
Assad throws a look of contempt at the wounded man. A screen at CTU flashes up lists of data and pictures of a residential street. The pictures zoom in, revealing Jack on the run with Assad. Chloe looks astounded and zooms in closer to get a definite identification of Jack's face. She grabs her phone. 7:32.
Buchanan. Mr. Buchanan, I know why Assad wasn't in the building when the missile hit. I need to show you something.
Bill looks across the floor to where Chloe sits, and then a serious look on his face walks across to her. She sits in front of her screen with a worried frown.
This is an aerial frame enhancement of the building a couple seconds before it was destroyed. Jack rescued Assad.
Okay. This makes sense. From Jack's perspective, if Assad is trying to stop the bombing.
But President Palmer and your wife, I mean Karen Hayes, think he's wrong, so what am I supposed to do with this?
Who else has seen it?
Nobody but me.
Okay, let's keep it that way for now. Jack didn't save Assad out of compassion. He's going to use him to find Fayed.
But if he's right, then we should be looking for Fayed, too.
Right. We filter the chatter stream, see if anything sources out on Fayed.
Okay.
Good work.
Assad stands at the window of the rented house.
We have a car.
We're going to find Fayed in time. We have to involve CTU.
I mean, the people who tried to kill me.
Who killed four of my men.
They have resources, you don't.
They will lock me in a room and question me for days. Fayed worked under me for years. I know how he thinks, and I will find him, but I will do it on my terms.
Jack crosses to the wounded man and grabs him roughly.
Where is Fayed?
I do not know.
Where is he?
I was just ordered to plant the transponder.
Jack picks up what looks like a car key and applies pressure.
Where's my head?
I do not know.
Please stop.
Please. Jack, as if shocked, looks at the man with compassion.
Why'd you stop?
I can see it in his eyes.
Assad eyes Jack oddly as he breaks away and moves to peer through the blind over the kitchen window. Assad looks at the traitor who sits there quivering. He then calmly takes a kitchen knife, crosses to where the man sits and plunges the blade into his knee.
Where is Fayed?
I know where some of his men will be. I overheard Fayed giving them instructions to go there.
Where?
Tigran 6.
When?
After you were killed.
Jack looks on, deeply troubled.
You've told me everything.
Yes. I swear it. I swear it.
I believe you.
Assad now plunges the blade into the man's abdomen.
I understand how you felt you were doing the right thing. I admire your conviction. But you're taking the wrong path, Shaheen. I'm sorry.
Assad gently closes the dead man's eyes and crosses over to where Jack stands watching blankly.
Let's go. My men are dead. I can find Fayed. But I cannot stop him by myself.
I don't know how to do this anymore.
He'll remember.
Jack stares helplessly back at Assad. 7:41. Ahmed's young white friend stares out of his window. Sandra Palmer takes a call.
Hello?
You'd better come out here. The FBI is back. They have a warrant.
Sandra replaces the phone and emerges combatively from her office to find the same pair of FBI agents as before.
Who is the applicant for this warrant? I want to see the affidavit.
The papers are on file with the district court. We have a legally executed warrant. Either you hand over the files or we take them. It's your choice.
This is an administrative warrant. It's not valid in this situation.
That's your opinion.
Sandra considers and then looks up at the blonde agent.
They're in the media room.
I'll show you.
Flashing a look at Al Razani, she watches as he leads them away. Then she runs across to where a worker sits at her screen.
I need to use your computer.
Malik, I need copies of all of our personnel files.
Okay, no problem.
Sandra works feverishly at the workstation she has commandeered. The young man in the media room works at his own screen under the gaze of Al Razani and the two FBI agents. Files fly everywhere on Sandra's screen. The young man's face clouds slightly.
What is it?
I can't find the files.
Are you certain? Try again.
They're not here.
What do you mean?
They're not where they're supposed to be.
Because they've been erased. Don't bother trying to recall them. I used the shredding program.
Sandra, what are you doing?
Check it.
The black FBI agent leans across to check.
She's telling the truth.
You're under arrest. Obstructing official business, destroying evidence. Take Mr. Al Razzani into custody.
Wait a minute. He has nothing to do with this.
That's the judge's call.
But I'm telling you, he's not involved.
As they are led away, the black FBI man turns to the blonde one.
Are you sure about this?
I told you before, she gets no special treatment.
I know, but she's the president's sister.
We have orders handed down, and we're going to follow them. Impound every workstation and hard drive in this office.
Ahmed's friend notices Stan, the contractor, going up to his friend's front door again. Inside the house, Ahmed hammers a hole in a plasterboard wall and retrieves a brown paper package from within the cavity. He heads back towards the door, putting the parcel into a rucksack, but is attacked by Stan.
I forgot about you! This is for everyone. You bastards killed today.
How do you like it, Hor?
Get up! You're dead, you hear me? You're dead.
Ahmed crawls across the floor towards the rucksack. Pulling out a pistol, he shoots Stan in the knee. The stunned man stares back imploringly as Ahmed aims the gun at his chest.
Please, don't. Please. You're good.
Ahmed looks down to where a huge shard of glass is sticking out from the front of his thigh. He pulls it out.
Ahmed?
The white teenager runs in and stands gaping.
What happened? I'm gonna call an ambulance. We're not calling anybody. Ahmed, I can't go to the hospital. You're hurt. I'm gonna call 911.
Ahmed trains the gun on him.
You shouldn't have come here, Scott. Look, I don't want to hurt you, but I will unless you do exactly what I say.
Ahmed, we're friends.
What friends? You can't even pronounce my name. It's not Ahmed. It's Ahmed.
Scott gulps for breath. 7:46, end of part 3. Part 4, 7:50. Fayed stares ahead grimly. Jack and Assad sit together in a car.
This is the location Omar gave us. Over there. 2 men in suits, one carrying a briefcase. He's a Fayed's man. The man in front is wearing an explosive vest.
He's setting up another strike.
Nazir, the bomber, and another man walk among a crowd of people.
Go.
Jack and Assad jump out of the car and run along the pavement in pursuit.
They're going in the subway.
Jack and Assad head off down the steps into the subway station after the 2 men. The 2 terrorists walk calmly through the station hallway. Jack and Assad arrive in the hallway and catch sight of the pair. 7:51. Jack and Assad arrive at a balustrade from where they can survey the platform below. The 2 terrorists stand as if waiting for a train.
The detonator is in his right hand.
We can't let him get on the train.
Only the bomber is getting on the train. The other man is the handler. He'll see the bomber off, then he'll leave. The handler will lead us to Fayette.
You follow the handler, I'm going after the bomber.
Jack heads off down the staircase to the platform. Assad looks quizzically after him. Jack walks along the platform, keeping visual contact with the pair who stand talking to each other quietly as they wait. A train pulls in. Jack pulls back out of sight to remain inconspicuous. As the train doors open, the handler gives the bomber a pat on the shoulder and walks away. The bomber steps aboard the train. Jack climbs aboard a few doors down the platform. The bomber looks all around, not noticing Jack, who walks up the carriage towards him. Jack takes up a position in a doorway. The handler, meanwhile, comes back up into the station hallway where Assad starts to tail him. The bomber sits aboard the train, deep in thought. Jack watches him. The handler emerges onto the street, Assad close behind him. He makes a call. 7:53, Fayette takes the call.
Go ahead.
He's on a train. It will reach Union Station in 5 minutes. The moment it pulls in, he'll murder himself.
The car is at the arranged place. Take it. Go to Union Station to confirm. Call me when it's done.
Understood.
The handler pulls off his jacket and walks down a side street to a parked car. He feels on the offside tire for the keys and gets in. Assad observes him and returns to where his own car is parked. The handler pulls away, closely followed by Assad. On the subway train, the inspector checks the bomber's ticket.
Here. Ticket. Please.
Jack moves up the carriage towards the bomber, but is confronted by the inspector.
Sir, and the ticket?
My name is Jack Bauer. I'm a federal agent. You have a terrorist on this train with a bomb. I need you to walk away. If he notices anything unusual, he will detonate his bomb. Now move away.
The inspector complies, but cannot help casting several nervous glances back towards the bomber. Jack moves up to stand close by the bomber. Jack catches the eye of the inspector, who returns to his work. The bomber turns and notices the inspector's nervousness. He flips the top of the detonator he holds in his right hand. Jack grabs his hand. The bomber pushes Jack against the far wall. The pair grapple around one of the vertical handrails. The bomber's shirt is ripped open, revealing the device with its glowing red light. Jack struggles to get hold of the detonator, getting kicked and punched by the bomber. Jack is thrown to the floor. The bomber grasps the detonator. As the bomber presses the button, Jack manages to kick him out of the rear door of the train. The fireball fills the tunnel, but the train itself manages to escape the worst of the blast. Jack is thrown backwards, and other passengers are jolted, but none seem seriously hurt. Jack gets to his feet and pushes the emergency stop button. As the train grinds to a halt, Jack leaps out through the rear door and off down the tunnel. Assad's small silver car follows the handler's car, which now pulls in front of another subway station. Assad parks up and watches. The handler picks up his phone. 7:57.
As the wave of violence aimed at American targets continues, Baltimore's largest shopping
Doc,
Faye, something went wrong.
I'm here at Union Station, but there's no explosion. And there's a cloud of smoke 4 blocks west from here.
Whatever the case, doesn't matter. Our other attacks were successful. Once again, the streets are flowing with blood.
At CTU, Milo to Bill.
We're dealing with 3 simultaneous bombings, one in a Baltimore shopping mall, another one in a Chicago hotel. In both cases, casualties are expected to be high.
What about the third one?
I'll call you back. It was here, in the Metro Red Line. Appears to be a suicide bomber.
Hang on, there may be some good news. Aside from the bomber itself, it appears no one else was killed.
How the hell could that happen?
Well, a Metrorail employee claims a passenger ejected the bomber before he could set off his vest. The passenger identified himself as Jack Bauer. Yeah.
Get on the Metro subnet. Jack was on that train and had been caught by a security camera. I want visual confirmation before I speak to the president.
Yes, sir.
Sir, you need to hear this. It's a cell phone call. It was red-tagged from the NSA surveillance software.
Faye, something went wrong. I'm here at Union Station, but...
I think we need to contact the White House.
The car bomb outside the hotel was detonated by remote control, sending bodies hurling out of windows from as high as the 20th floor.
Mr. President, if it's any consolation, these attacks were planned far in advance of the raid on Assad.
Tom, all that means is there will be more attacks. We're in a full-blown war here, and we still have no way to fight back.
Excuse me, Mr. President. CTU just called. They intercepted a cell phone call between Fayette and one of the men behind today's bombings.
Fayette? Are they sure?
Yes, sir. Fayette is the one behind these attacks, not Assad.
President Palmer drops his eyes.
Sir, I promoted the strike against Assad.
But I approved it, Karen. We were all in agreement. So Jack was right. He was right all along, and I... This is gonna get much worse.
Palmer agonizes. Al-Razani is taken into custody. Tom Lennox remains inscrutable. Karen Hayes looks deeply troubled. Sandra Palmer is led away by the FBI. Assad makes a call as he drives. Jack emerges through a doorway into an alley. He answers his phone.
Yeah.
What happened?
I'll explain later. Are you still following the handler?
Yes, I'm in the car. We're on Alameda, 2 blocks from Union Station. We're heading in your direction.
I copy that. I'll find you. Just stay with the handler. He's our only connection to Fayette.
8 a.m. This episode is dedicated to the memory of the aircrew of Gunshot 66, whose Marine Corps helicopter was shot down over western Iraq on November the 2nd, 2005. The end.
The feed's unstable, so I don't have long to tell you this. Jack and Chloe need you to go to ctuagent.com and type in the code Delta 9 Delta 5 Juliet Juliet. Our intel suggests that if you defeat the terrorists, there's a chance to win a trip to the set of 24 in Los Angeles. I have to go dark now.